Rocky's father okay, do you know?
Apparently not. He's been operated on. Yeah. I don't know how he is now. Afterwards.
I see.
They didn't have much information yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're I'm leaving this one over here so that the clicks from this one don't affect that one too much. This is an interview with Alvin Tolleskrupp, an informal discussion about CDF. This is Lillian Hodison, and it's November 24th, I think?
24th.
1987. So, I'm still beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And what I need is an overview and a feeling for the sort of periods that the development went through.
Do you want to go back to where the Kleider idea started?
I'd love to.
Okay, that's there were shades of that going before I came. If you look back in some of those early NAL, the little books with the logo on the back, there were summer studies out in Aspen, various places. And if you look back in those, you'll see that. Idea of the Kleider came up very early in it. Maybe Dick Kerrigan could probably tell you that, because I sort of half remember that his name was associated with some of those studies.
Right, right. He wrote an early paper in
you've got it.
I've got a reference to it, and I think I have the paper as well. But I gather not much happened. That had to do with using the doubler as a collider, right?
No, that was well before the doubler time. But the idea that you might have a second ring here, I think must have been in Wilson's mind right from the start.
Right.
Because there was space left for it. Under the main ring magnets, which is where the Tevatron is right now.
Right.
Wilson had sort of specified that whole space be left clear.
And also over. Both over and under.
That I don't know. The reason I know the other is that just after I came,
mm-hmm.
in April, I would guess probably in June or July, Bob asked me to put together a workshop on colliding beams. And as I recall, at that time there was a proposal from at that time the Tevatron was just starting. In fact, I'm not sure what it was called right at that point, but it was people had started to build some superconducting magnets. They had not worked very well. The position of the machine at that time was on the top of the main ring tunnel. And Helen had actually built an extraction system to take protons from the main ring and bend them up to the top of the tunnel, and they'd mounted a superconducting magnet there, and I think they actually transported beam through about 10 feet of it or something like that. But those magnets were not a success at that time. And so... I'm not sure where that was. That extraction, was it at B12? I can't remember. Yeah. Helen would remember that. The sort of the It wasn't the right place for him. it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it was. And the proposals, there was one from Richter and Klein. There was actually a letter to Bob suggesting that they collide protons from the main ring with protons from the energy doubler in a very bizarre fashion. Namely, if you accelerated the protons in the doubler to high energies, there was no way you could bend the beam down to get it into collision. So the idea was actually, as I recall, to collide main ring protons at something like 10 GeV against the doubler, which was located up on the ceiling, because that would have been it. You have to bend things sort of about 10 feet there. And so it was low energy protons against protons in the doubler. Then there was another letter from, I guess, Klein and Rubia wanting to collide something. I've forgotten what that was.
I think that was PP,
and it was they were all PP.
Yeah, I think that was also doubler versus main ring. Although I gather he was also pushing main ring PP. I'm not sure. I haven't found the letter.
I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a reference to that in Bob's a talk that Bob gave.
I see. But I pulled together a little workshop mm-hmm. for 3 days.
Right, and this was early. The workshop was in early '76. Do you remember the one that?
Well, my feeling was that I got here in April.
Of 75.
Of 75. My feeling was that it happened sooner than that.
No.
But I'm not sure. I thought it was sort of in the summertime, is what I remember. Anyway, the meeting was over in the old Curia.
Yes, and Bob here mentions a meeting, but he may be wrong, under the direction of Alvin Palestra for January of 76.
Okay, maybe that's when it was.
Anyway, I can check. I have multiple documents.
Judy was Bob's secretary then. Yeah. There must be director's notes or things like that, or calendars or something.
Yeah, we can figure that.
Anyway, I shouldn't say it, but I was scared silly that all these nuts were coming in when we were trying to build the saver mm-hmm. with all kinds of nutty ideas. And so I got... I put together a little workshop, but I got Jim Cronin and Bob Walker there, so I'd have some people with their heads screwed on right. and actually it was a pretty good workshop that lasted for a couple of days. And the thing that became really clear is that there was no way you were going to get collision between the PP collisions between the doubler and the main ring if you still had the thing on top. And so that workshop was on Friday and Saturday, or Thursday and Friday, something like that. Next Monday, when we came in, we spent each morning with Bob on that. He said, let's put the doubler under the main ring. He said, but I don't know whether it'll fit or not. And Fowler said that you told people that they had to keep all of that area clear under there. And Bob didn't remember that.
I see.
So next time we got a chance, we went and looked all around the main ring, and the only place there was any real interference was for the RF cavities in the main ring, where they were rather big cavities, and they interfered there, but that wasn't a major problem. So that workshop at least got the machines moved into the right position with respect to each other. So it was an important step in the whole flying program. Then,
what else got done at the meeting? Was that the major thing?
My memory is not very good. There was a lot of discussion of how you manipulate beams and how you could get small spots and things like that. And I have actually forgotten the genesis of the ideas that went into that. PBARP, I think that came up at the time, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure. There were a lot of ideas there, and it's just my memory is not good enough to use as a reference for what ideas came up on and were at that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Then, let's see. I guess that the next thing along the road is I think people came away from that meeting feeling that, all right, you could probably do some quieting beams, but one needed a number of things. First of all, you had to find out if you could store protons in the main ring.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put in a proposal for a study that became an official machine experiment. And we put together a small group of people. It was Gene Fisk and myself and Stan Poos, I think, and Chuck Eichenbrandt, and very important guy that understands the power supply, Howie Pfeffer, over there, and Frank Turcotte. And we started to push to get protons stored. At some time, and I could look in my papers and see when we first stored beam. But we first stored that was the first time beam was stored in one of these big machines. It was stored at 200 GeV for a fairly long time. I think we succeeded in half an hour or something like that for the first time. So a program got started studying the storage properties of the...
You remember how long it took to get this thing to show that, the experiment, roughly?
Lillian, I can't even remember when we first stored beam in the main ring. That's an important date. Do you have that on your list?
I have a copy of
things that happened.
Chronology, what is that?
That chronology of...
Oh, yes, I do, here. June of...
When?
76.
June of 76,
so
okay.
So it went very fast.
Yeah.
If the meeting really was in January. Right. Mm-hmm.
So that went along. And then the other thing I did was I got together an experiment, a proposal that was submitted to the PAC finally for a proton colliding beam experiment. And that, the reason for that was I figured if we were going to do colliding beams, we ought to figure out how to use the machine. And so I got a group consisting of Leon, Roland Johnson, Chuck Hankenbrandt, Peter Lyman.
Peoples and Collins and Walker.
No. They were not there.
Mm-hmm.
Carol
Yes.
Who was that guy that I was trying to remember the other day, and you remembered him, that used to work in CDF?
His name was Bob Loveless.
Yeah, Bob Loveless.
He was a young post. Did we hire him as a postdoc?
Yeah.
He was here when I arrived.
I.
He was young.
No, I guess he wasn't on. He wasn't on that.
He was here when I started in 79.
All right. No, he came along later. Oh, it's just a very small group, and we used to meet up over. Tom may have been in there. You have to look on the names of the proposal to find out.
I just happen to have a list here on. I was looking at 491. That's not the one called Clashing Gigantic Synchrotrons. Was it that one or?
Whose names are on it?
This note here is Mrs. Adrian.
Let's see.
So I thought it
might
have been that one.
Fisk, Johnson, Lyman, Peoples. Oh, yeah. Bob Walker and Leon. Okay. But, Roland is there. Mm-hmm. Anken Brandt and Lyman. I got those right. I didn't remember Gene.
You sure it's the same experiment?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 491. So we sort of put together that proposal just as a sort of a fun thing. That got presented to the PAC, mm-hmm. and my remembrance of that and. I guess there were some other ones that were proposed at the same time. And that may have been that other one with the antiproton source. The PAC turned that down, but said that colliding beams were clearly a thing that the lab should get involved in. And that it was way too early, we should let it mature for a little while, mm-hmm. which was certainly true. We didn't have any telephone magnets or anything at that point. Then let's see. My remembrance is that there was a study, a summer study at Aspen in 77. Is that right?
Well, there's one that summer in 76.
In 76?
On utilization of the energy doubler.
So
all these things happened at the same time.
So I remember, we had results already of the storage studies, and we had a lot of information about Coulomb scattering and emittance growth in the machines. And those are all written up in one of those little black books.
That's 77. Well, there's another 70, the one in 77 also. Yeah, 77 is on colliding beams, physics of kind of that.
This is 77, so.
Yeah. The one I said, that, the 76 one was just on utilization of the energy
doubler. For
76, and 77 was on colliding beams.
Yeah, 77 was a colliding beam one. I only have one volume of it here. There we go.
Oh.
Another volume where all of the this is the detectors and things like that.
That's the second volume.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the first volume.
No, the copy's not good.
Oh, God. at this point, we already had a TP scenario and things like that. So this was. And in that other volume, if I'm right, is all the physics of what we learned from the storage studies in the main ring. And that, as I say, was the first write-up. And first storage of protons in one of these large rings. It happened before SAM. Yeah, it's that other volume.
I'm sure we have it.
Yeah,
I'm sure we
do. These papers in there by Fisk and myself and a lot of other people on what was happening in the machine. So that's 76. So the PAC told us it was too early. So in 77, the time that study, we came back with much enhanced proposal. And I think at that time that the PBARP proposal was in. There was a proposal from Jimmy Walker to build a small ring down around D0. That would quiet against the Tevatron. It was a 10 GeV ring that would quiet against the double, so you wouldn't have equal energies.